From theunts.com, this is the Unts Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunts.com. Hello and welcome to the Unts Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. My guest today is Joe Ray, one half of the British production powerhouse Nero. It's been a huge year for the duo, who has been in the game since the early 2000s when they started in the underground house and drum and bass scene. Nero released one of the biggest crossover hits in the UK with their debut full-length album, Welcome Reality. The pair became huge draws in the US thanks in part to a high-profile string of dates on the inaugural Identity Festival tour and major collaborations with megastar Skrillex. Nero recently released their Reaching Out single, which features remixes from Fred Falk, Wilkinson, and Book of Shade, and is available on your favorite digital music outlets. Today's episode is brought to you by MCP Presents, one of the biggest promotion, production, and management companies in today's electronic music scene. With one of the biggest New Year's Eve blowouts in the country just freshly behind them with Lights All Night in Dallas, MCP is already turning its attention to this year's Camp Bisco 11, taking place July 12th through the 14th in beautiful Mariahville, New York. During today's episode, we'll cover some of the breakout stars at this year's Lights All Night festivities and preview some artists sure to pop up at this year's installment of Camp Bisco. You can already purchase super duper early bird tickets at campbisco.net, and more information is certainly available at mcppresents.com. Let's ease into today's show with a new remix from Crizzly, who turned some heads at Lights All Night. Here's his take on Dreams Go Hard. Crizzly's Go Hard remix. Let's get to the interview with Joe Ray of Nero.
First, tell me, if you can, sort of parse it out, the mentality that you and Daniel Stevens had when you were setting about producing the tracks for Welcome Reality. I imagine since you released Innocence as far back as the middle of last year, that was a while ago, and then a long, drawn-out process from there. But if you can sort of put yourself in the mindset that you were in, whenever that was that you started producing for this album.
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously it's a debut album, so it's the kind of the culmination of, you know, a lot of work and everything that we've kind of written together since we started producing together. And it's because of that, there's a little different kind of size to it. A tune like Innocence was primarily a kind of bit more of an underground club tune and, you know, something that worked in that way. And then we released Me and You, which is over in England. And suddenly that became more of that blew up on the radio, on Radio 1, and, like, you know, all these DJs who wouldn't usually have been playing our kind of tunes were playing it. So suddenly we had this whole new kind of fan base that we tapped into, like, you know, the kids were coming to our shows who wouldn't have normally gone to a dubstep show or kind of dance music show in general. They were just, you know, kids who might have gone to a rock show as well or anything. So, and suddenly it was like, oh, wow, it's amazing. You know, they're really digging that kind of like, different vibe and, of course, everything that me and you had. So yeah, from there, it kind of, the album spread from those two points, really. It kind of, we wanted it to be something that you could listen to at home, but also something that, you know, worked on the dance floor.
Sure. And it was such a long time coming. You know, your partnership dates back for a while now, and yet this was the big debut. And in this sort of music industry landscape, and especially in dance music, it's a world of singles. And so, you know, anything that you had produced had come out in small little chunks here and there. So a single here, a remix there. So why was the album format important to you?
Well, I think the album kind of, it's your statement, really. It's like, this is who we are. You know, we've done a lot of different singles and remixes, and someone might be quite confused as to our kind of identity in a way. So an album is important for, especially for a dance artist, because it just shows, you know, exactly where he's at. And for us, it was like, it makes you more of an act, and, you know, we don't want to just be like DJs or, you know, people in that particular genre. We're the kind of people that we aspire to be like, you know, the Daft Punks, the Chemical Brothers of this world, who've written like albums that have crossed over and people have loved anyway. So yeah, that was kind of the idea, really.
Nero's Me and You, the first single from their smash hit Welcome Reality. Here's another Lights All Night artist, Porter Robinson.
You bitch. That's right. 100% in the bitch.
Sent in the bitch from Porter Robinson. Here's Nero and Skrillex. When you began work on this album, dubstep was huge everywhere in the UK, but just starting to creep into the mainstream in the States. By the time we reach present day, you can now slap a sticker on your Promises remix that says, produced with Grammy-nominated artist Skrillex. Does this vindicate the genre you helped popularize? Does this mean, oh no, we're famous, on to the next thing to preserve our underground credibility? What does it sort of mean, this shift that has happened in the time that this album has risen to the success that it has?
I mean, we don't really think about that too much. I think we, in terms of, you know, the genre crossing over, getting bigger or whatever, we wrote this album not intending it to be called like a dubstep album or anything like that. It just has, you know, the best reviews of it, we felt, would be the ones that said, you know, it's got dubstep influences to it, of course, and like tunes that are like that. But then there's also a lot of, you know, there's kind of French house style stuff in there. There's more of a rock kind of feel. There's rock things and blah, blah, blah. It was just like, it was just the kind of music we like put into kind of the format that we wanted to put it into. So for us, we try and kind of not think too much about the whole wider... the wider view of it, because I think otherwise you can get a little bit kind of sort of preoccupied with that kind of thing in the scene, and people, you know, differentiate this way or the other way or whatever. I just think it's a good thing in terms of being able to have a you know, a wide audience, and like, we love the idea of people picking up a record who, you know, wouldn't have done it, you know, a year ago, because it was just like, oh, that's an underground release, I don't know what that is. You know, why not kind of have as big a market as possible and like appeal to people who otherwise be picking up an Arcade Fire album or whatever else, you know. So yeah, it's just a good thing, to be honest, at the moment.
Yeah, I imagine. And similarly, you've had this arc during your career that has encompassed house and drum and bass and these new sounds. That's what you were, you know, primarily known for early on in the UK, sort of blending all these genres. Where do you see the future sound coming from? We've had a great influx of some amazing music from UK that is hitting the mainstream, like James Blake, and then you have some tracks sort of on the more stripped down and bare versions of what it is you do. I'm wondering what you're seeing there in the UK, and now you're on tour, you're in Australia, and you're seeing these various new sounds crop up, and I wonder in what direction that they're pushing you.
Yeah, I mean, I think for us, we try not to listen to. When we listen to music, we try not to listen to anything that's too, either in our genre, you know, in the genre or kind of stuff that's very closely to it. Obviously, we know about those guys, and I'd love the James Blake album and so on. But I think we try and steer clear a bit, because then you can draw your influences from elsewhere and you don't end up sounding like other people. I think, well, kind of one of the worst things is to be too much just in your own, you know, what's going on in the scene at the moment, and you just end up sounding like everyone else, or it's kind of, oh, look, or that Nero just heard that record and they're trying to do that, or you know whatever. It's kind of, it could be a little bit damaging in a way. And I think for us, we as much as we love everything else that's going on, we're kind of we're just trying to do our own thing. I mean, like the James Blake album, for example, you know, I love listening to it at home, but I couldn't kind of imagine how we would kind of get inspired by it in certain ways. You know, it's a very different vibe as well. So I don't know. Yeah, it's just. Well, the scene in the UK is really in flux, as it always is, and I think that's probably the best thing about it. It's kind of, because it's a smaller country and there's loads of artists doing stuff, there's always something going on and different sounds cropping up, and so yeah, it's kind of hard to know what's going on sometimes.
Absolutely. And I wonder if you could peel back the curtain a little bit as far as your production goes. I wonder how Nero as a unit works in the studio. I'd like to know sort of your working relationship with Daniel, and then sometimes bringing in Alana Watson and sometimes, you know, just putting out a banging tune without vocals. I wonder, do you have a forte, or are you more beats and bass, or do you focus on melodies? I want to know kind of how these tracks are born in the studio.
Different ways. Yeah, we all tend to work on it together, certainly not like specific roles. Alana's someone we've known for ages, and she kind of, the first tune she featured on was in 2008 or so, and then it's just, she's become more and more kind of involved, and as we're writing the album, it became clear it's just really cool to have a consistent voice and a bit more of a kind of band or a group feel, rather than having those featuring artists or whatever. So, but in the studio, it's kind of we just do whatever, and we tend to try and start with like the general idea of the song melody before going in on like the bass and stuff, just because I don't know, it's just kind of a bit more of an interesting way for us to start things and try and sculpt the tuning around like in that way. So we start with that, and then once we have a kind of idea going, or a little sample going, then we kind of build it from there, really.
It's unfortunate that when we feel a star, can roll ourselves over, 'cause we're on. The devil makes us sick, but we like it when we're spinning in his grin.
the Zed's Dead remix of Massive Attack's Circus. Zed's Dead will be on the Unz podcast next week. Here's another MCP artist. It's Arch Nemesis with their new track, Sugar. Here's the new single from Nero's Welcome Reality, Reaching Out with Daryl Hall. Yeah, that Daryl Hall.
So let's talk about the new EP, which just dropped, Reaching Out. First of all, what do you see that sets this single apart from Guilt and Me and You and really Beg to Be Released as its own standalone entity?
I think the reason we chose it, it wasn't like anything specific. I mean, it's quite nice having a different as a male vocal on there, first tune of ours that kind of had that really. Well, the only tune on the album that had it. But just a lot of people said, oh, I really like that one, I really like the vibe of that one. It's a bit more kind of, it's a bit more smooth, you know, it's not like, obviously there's kind of quite a big drop on it, but it's not like a massive, really in-your-face, noisy kind of thing. It's a bit more, it's got that slightly kind of boogie-ish 80s vibe. It samples a tune called Kano, Another Life, and also the vocal we had was, we actually managed to get done by Daryl Hall, which was kind of, you know, really cool for us and
certainly
a hero of ours from back in the day. So, yeah, it was just we had a lot of good feedback on it. It wasn't anything too, you know, too kind of strategic about it. It was just people liked the vibe of it and there's a nice story behind it. So, yeah, we went with it.
Sure, sure. And it's got fantastic remixes from Book of Shade and Fred Falk and Wilkinson. Were you able to guide those remixes? I don't know if that was your label's decision, but I wonder what kind of reimaginations you were hoping to get and what sort of results that you got. Maybe you were surprised by some of the ways that your own ideas were reworked.
Yeah, I mean, we always kind of have a hand in obviously choosing who remixes our stuff. And, you know, the label says to us, oh, who would you like to do on this one? And we kind of, oh, you know, who is this guy about? Is this guy about? So, for instance, Fred Falk is someone we've loved for a long time. And because of the nature of the track, we thought, oh, with that kind of vocal and that kind of vibe, he might do a good job with it. And he did a really good job on it as well. It's, you know, just seemed to fit his kind of style quite nicely. And so, yeah, it was just, and then kind of with Wilkinson, for example, it was like, nice to have something at a different, you know, completely different tempo. And he, you know, reimagining it in a cool way. And it, you know, it's all quite a big, it's kind of big, kind of big dancehall tune, but it's also got that nice, you know, crossover feel. It got played on radio quite a lot. It's not too, like, thrashy in the face. It's it kind of keeps that, the arc in there, keeps the melodic vibe to it. So yeah, I'm really happy with it, really.
Well, it's a fantastic package. You're out on tour now, going through the U.S. and Australia and back to Europe. We're super excited about the tour and this new release. Joe Ray with Nero, thanks so much for being on the UNS podcast.
No worries, thanks a lot.
That's going to do it for this week's UNS podcast. Special thanks go to Sue Zimmerman and Cecilia Doring Stearns with Magnum PR, and of course, my guest, Joe Ray. The new single from Nero, Reaching Out, is available now, and you can keep up to date with their tour schedule and news at theUNS.com/Nero. Today's sponsor was, of course, MCP Presents. Congratulations are in order for the Brilliant Lights All Night festivities. Grab tickets and VIP passes for this year's Camp Bisco 11 at campbisco.net. Win tickets to see Emancipator, Downlink, Mimosa, and more by visiting theUNS.com/contests. Please visit theUNS.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, you'd like to be a guest on the UNS podcast, or you'd like to sponsor an episode, contact me at anand@theUNS.com. That's A-N-A-N-D at theUNS.com. Join the conversation at the UNS podcast on Twitter. We'll catch you next week.